Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of the Lord. Would you like to sit down?
Shane, are you able to come and help me? I was just wondering whether anyone here has got any superpowers. Shane, have you got any superpowers that I need to be aware of? Are you like Spider-Man? Are you? Can you climb walls? Have you got any other superpowers?
Space, I like.
You love space. Whoa, so have you got a superpower that transports you to space? Have you? Can I come with you? Should we go after the service? Should we go to space? Yeah, that would be amazing, wouldn't it, if it was true? That would be amazing. I wonder if anybody else has got any superpowers in this room. Dakota? Superpower of crying. Anyone else? Anyone like to have a superpower? What would you like, Dave? So to just be able to and melt the snow. Anyone else? Anyone else put their hand up? I'm sure I saw somebody else put their hand up. No, nobody wants a superpower. You boring lot. Jane, do you want a superpower? That would be quite handy, wouldn't it? That would be very handy. Now, we're thinking today about promises and whether they're true and whether they're not true. So I wonder if I was to say to you this morning, did I have porridge for breakfast or did I have yogurt for breakfast? What do you think is true? Who wants to take a guess? Hands up for porridge. Hands up for yogurt. Disqualified. Well done on the yogurt. That was right. Now, if I was to say to you, my first car was red, or my first car was pink, what do you think, Shane? What color do you think my first car was? Think it was red like Lightning McQueen, or pink like a girly car? Pink. You think pink? Anyone with Shane thinks pink? Fiona thinks pink. Anyone think red? Red is correct. Sometimes it's really difficult, isn't it, to know what is true and what isn't true. Would any of the teenagers like a go of that game? Do you want to come up and give one truth, one false, and see if anyone can guess? We did this at youth, didn't we? Michael? No? Okay, I'll do one for you, Michael. Did you have a pair of socks for Christmas? Or did you have chocolate for Christmas? Who thinks Michael had socks for Christmas? Put your hand up.
Chocolate.
Who thinks he had chocolate for Christmas? Are they right? That was a really good guess, wasn't it? A really good guess. Now, was anyone listening really carefully to the reading that Miriam did? And right at the end of the reading, there was something about camels and funny names of places. Does anybody know what that was about? Because that reading was from the Old Testament, and it was written many, many, many years before something that happened in the New Testament. Any grown-ups want to help with what it might be about?
I want to go out in space.
Yeah, I want to go to space with you as well. But Mummy was just saying it's all about the three kings, wasn't it? Yeah. So Miriam was reading all about the three kings, and that was a kind of promise. We call them prophecies in the Bible. And it was many, many, many years ago. And I wonder at the time whether people thought that was real or not real, whether they thought it was true or not true. It's easy for us now, isn't it? Because we know that the three kings came. We've got the New Testament. We've got all the witness accounts. We know that it happened. But at the time when those promises are made, when God makes promises, sometimes it's difficult to know, isn't it? Are they true or aren't they true? And that's what Jay is going to talk to us about today.
Follow that one, Jim, lad. What do you think those three kings saw in the sky that night? What do you think it was that got them thinking? What was it that motivated them to pack their bags, begin a journey going to who knows where? Because they didn't know where this star was going. But something had been revealed to them. But what was it? What was in the sky? What was in their minds? What was in their hearts? We don't actually have much historical information about those wise men and the journey that they took. Matthew's gospel simply tells us that they came from the east. Some scholars have speculated they might have come from Persia. We like to think that there were three of them, but Matthew doesn't even say that. And the number has actually varied throughout the church's history. Sometimes there's been 2, 3, 4, 8, even 12, according to different legends. Their traditional names, even though it's not mentioned in the Bible, are Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. But those names didn't come about until the 7th century. So what about the star? It could have been a supernatural phenomenon. It could just be a regular star in the sky. It could be a comet, or sometimes a group of planets. We'd have to go up into space, perhaps, and find out. So the lack of historical information is a reminder that this Epiphany journey of those wise men isn't just about their journey, but it's everyone's journey. The truth of the Bible is never contained just in the past. The truth of the Bible and the promises of God are relevant to all of us here and now. We don't know exactly what they saw on that night in the sky. We don't know what was in their minds, what they were thinking about, or what they were talking about. We don't know what they were longing for. But I do know that there have been times when we've all experienced what we often call an epiphany moment. That time when suddenly everything seems to make sense. It feels like our minds have been opened or even filled with something. Those times that reveal to us that there's much more to life than we were actually thinking about in the first place. Sometimes those epiphany moments give us the courage and the enthusiasm to do something that goes beyond our borders or our confines. Sometimes those epiphany moments move us to be in a completely new place where we see the face of God in a completely different way. We see God being so human that it almost seems ordinary, maybe too ordinary, to believe that God can be here among us. But that's what happened to the wise men. They began to hear the stories of their lives. Something must have stirred within them, and they began to wonder, to imagine perhaps what their life could be like if they realized that their life was actually part of a much bigger story, a story of the promises of God. Could it be that the God who created life, who hung the stars in the sky in the first place, had actually noticed these wise men, knew them, lived within them even, and this was the God who was calling them? Maybe that light they saw in the sky was a reflection of the divine light of God that was burning within them, that same light that burns within each of us. To seriously think about those questions is, like the wise men, to actually begin a journey. That journey took the wise men to the house where they found the answer to their questions. And the answer was, of course, Jesus in the arms of his mother. Maybe we're going to travel a completely different route than the wise men did in order to find Jesus. But the answer is actually going to be the same. And there are many, many promises that God makes to us throughout the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament. And in each promises, God pledges that something either will or will not be done or given or come to pass. These are not flippant, casual promises such as we humans often make. These promises of God are rock solid because they come from God. They are God's unchanging commitment to the world and his people, because God is faithful. God is so faithful that those who receive God's promise can have that full assurance that what God has promised will come to pass. Here are just a few of the promises that God makes, and these are just some examples from the New Testament. The book of Romans says that God promises salvation to all who believe in Jesus. There's no greater blessing than the free gift of God's salvation. And later on in Romans, in chapter 8, God promises that all things will work out well for his children. That's the greater picture that keeps us from being dismayed by our current circumstances. We look beyond them, we look beyond the boundaries, and we see God at work. And in the letter, second letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 1, God promises comfort in the trials that we suffer in life. That shows that God has got a plan. And one day we're going to be able to share that comfort we receive. And then later on in chapter 5, God promises a new life in Christ. That's salvation again. Salvation is the beginning of a brand new existence. Because God notices us. Like the wise men, God has noticed us. God lives within us. God is that light burning within us and calling us, because God constantly reveals himself through humanity in the flesh. We've all got the stories of our lives, those God moments, those epiphanies, those moments and stories that forever change who we are, and the stories that help to shape us into what we're going to be for the future. Those stories shape who we are, how we're going to live, even the direction that we're going to travel. They're moments of ordinary, everyday life when the human and the divine come together and we see God's glory face to face. Obviously, those epiphany moments don't happen every moment of every day. But God is there in the little things just as much as God is there in the greater things. So look out for those promises of God. Look to see God working in our midst, God walking in our midst, because God has made a promise to each one of us, and what God has promised will come to pass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.